And today we're visiting with Brittany Rice. Brittany from Community and Family Resources. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
What's going on for CFR here in the month of May?
The month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yep.
So, of course, we are doing some things for that. This week is May 16th, which is Thursday, is Make It Okay Day for the state of Iowa. So you'll see our employees all wearing their green shirts to represent Make It Okay Day and Mental Health Awareness Month. So that's one of the things we're doing right now.
So what's Make It Okay?
So really what the initiative is to make it okay, to have mental health problems and to seek help.
It's okay to do that.
Yeah, and it's okay to not be okay.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's still for some people has that stigma. They just not going to tell anybody I'm having a problem.
Yes. So it is very stigmatized. So yeah, wear green on Thursday for Make It Okay Day.
All right. So doing that, all your people will be out.
Most of us, at least. a bunch of us bought T-shirts. So
okay. Yeah, we're good. So some people wonder, again, with community family, a lot of things we talked about are like substance abuse, gambling addiction things. But it does tie in with mental health.
Oh, 100%.
And again, this is the big thing is it the cause or is it the symptom?
And it depends on the person.
Yeah.
For some people, the mental health problem comes first. For other people, the addiction comes first. But oftentimes, they kind of ball together and go hand in hand. I'd say at least 90%, if not more, of our folks that are in substance abuse treatment also have a mental health disorder.
Okay. Well, kind of curious because I know you get a lot of people that will have to go through their driver training thing, which, by the way, is probably pretty busy with school getting out and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You had a little bit of a rush, did you, towards...
Yeah, it's been busy. During the winter months, sometimes we have to cancel our drunk driving class because there's not enough people signed up for it. But it's been a while since we've had to cancel one, and I think it's been full the past couple times.
So. Well, there's bad out there, yes.
Yes.
Still going on. One of the other big things I know that's happening, and I know this is great for you because it gets one of your new people exposed to the public by participating at the Erickson Public Library. And this has just been set up here within the last couple of weeks.
Yes. Jen, my outreach specialist, my community outreach specialist, has set up hours at the Erickson Public Library once every other week. I think her first week was last week that she went.
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to figure out exactly what all that looks like because she did that. She took the initiative and did that all on her own.
Which is good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But I know that she's going to be there to make sure that she is touching base with people in the community that are needing information on addictions, whether that's gambling or substance abuse, and then also making sure that she's getting her contact info out there and directing people to the services that they might need.
This is the one, having the library serve as a vehicle, especially during May, Mental Health Awareness Month. They really try to facilitate that. But they have started bringing in a lot of our what they call their partners in the community in this.
Yep.
And CFR is one of them. And this is an opportunity for people to come in. They can come in and visit with her, without making a commitment or anything else. But it does give them an opportunity to see what the next steps might be.
Yes, absolutely. So this role is new to her. So she's also learning, what all of our treatment processes are. But as she gets more versed in it, she'll be able to, explain them a little bit better. But it at least gets somebody out there talking about the services so people know where to turn. I know in the county of Boone County, that in the meetings I'm in, that's one of the biggest concerns is where are the services? What services do we have? And I think it's great that the library is taking the initiative to bring people in so we can get that information out there more easily.
We can talk about it here.
Yes.
These services are available. Here's the process to go through. But there's still people out there that are just... I never knew.
Exactly. And, the services are posted on the Chamber of Commerce website. There's the Human Service Coalition that has their website as well. So the information's out there. People just don't know where to look. So I think making it available at the library is great.
It's just another tool to get all that information out. Let's talk a little bit about some of the gambling addiction issues because that's one of the regulars we've been going to lately. Still getting inquiries about it, still having people, are they following Caitlin Clark? What's the deal?
So yeah, we are still getting inquiries about it. We continue to see an increase. I think last month I said we had 27 positive screenings. This month we had 29. So it's continued to climb over the months. And for our area, the northern area of CFR, we currently have 10 gambling clients enrolled, which is the largest number I've ever seen since I've been at CFR, and that's been almost 7 years.
Yeah.
So
I think some of the first ones you did, you only had 5 or 6.
Yeah. I mean, when I started, I had 1 or 2. I got up to 5, I think, when I was the primary gambling counselor. So,
that's pretty good. I mean, you know, having that many, after, especially because once they find out they may have an issue. Mm-hmm. That's only finding out about it. Then it's the step is, what do I do about it?
Yeah, getting the evaluation, talking to somebody. And in reality, we can start meeting with somebody before we do an evaluation for gambling, which is the nice thing. So we can start just by providing them some education one-on-one and then letting them make that decision if they feel they need an eval or potentially treatment. So we've done that with a couple folks, too.
Okay, so have some flexibility.
Yes.
Of getting that out there. And for some, I'm guessing, you know, without knowing, I would say some, they might start to, you know, maybe get that initial contact and then go, I think I can do this. And,
yeah.
And then decide, yeah, enroll me, sign me up.
Yep, absolutely. And of course, it depends on the rapport that is built between the clinician and the potential client. The clinician I've got right now is really great with that. So I think that yep. is helping get people engaged to get them the help that they need. So that's good. She also answers our bets off phone when we get those calls. And we've gotten a few over the past couple of months, which has also been an increase because we went months and months without any for a while.
Oh, sure. I'm wondering, you know, because you'll get those calls and that, and they get that initial contact. They may find out they have an issue. Mm-hmm. Let's see, you do that that survey or summary of it. And but again, it's they need to want to make that choice.
Yeah, they need to want to make the change. Without wanting to make the change, of course, we know the change isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. But even if somebody comes in and they're ambivalent, they don't really know, we're still going to work with them because we might help to be able to educate them to the point where they might start seeing that the change needs to be made. You know, we don't want to see people lose their homes or their vehicles or their jobs because of their gambling.
Mm-hmm. I know that you guys do a lot of addiction counseling and mm-hmm. things like that. One of the, and I remember back when first CFR came into Boone County a number of years ago, and part of it was having the accessibility didn't, you know, people didn't have to go over to Ames or
right.
didn't have to travel somewhere else to do it. But to be able to have that here. Mm-hmm. And we do have the office here.
Yep, we do on South Marshall, up kind of by the grill and mm-hmm. McDonald's, so kind of in between those two locations. So it's right there. It's pretty accessible. We also do telehealth for pretty much all of our services. So if somebody can't make it out, we are willing to see them via telehealth if needed.
Okay. Do you get people that contact you and say, you know, I know somebody who might need help. How can I get them to come to you?
Yes, we have definitely had those calls before. I don't know how frequently they come in. It's kind of random.
Yeah.
But we do get those calls, yes.
So how do you steer them in?
It depends on the situation.
Yeah.
A lot of the
Once again, you have to listen to each one individually.
Yes, yes. A lot of the calls that we get are, you know, maybe parents that are a little bit older, you know, of their adult children that are kind of fed up with their substance use and don't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are to the extent that they need to get their kids to the hospital.
Okay.
Others are just curious, you know, what does the cost look like? When can we get them in? What are the hours? Stuff like that. So it just kind of depends.
And so, and just try to provide, again, getting that information out.
Yeah.
That there is a service here.
Yep.
And there's a lot of ways we can work with you.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, we're keep working on that. Mental Health Awareness Month this month.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggie.
Yes.
And we now are going to be having some services or at least contact for
yes.
services at the Erickson Public Library.
Yep.
Brittany Rice, a guest on our program today here on our Tuned In program. We're going to be back with more in just a moment.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
Brittany Rice, a guest on our program today from Community Family Resources. Brittany, this is the time of the year, springtime. Mm-hmm. We have that transition going on, especially for a lot of young people.
Yep.
Maybe out there, they're getting a lot of traffic stops. I'll just say that possibly being under the influence. And now you, alcohol related some, but there are others. Chemical-related OWIs that you have to deal with as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people don't always realize it, but you can get an OWI, for smoking pot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can get an OWI for that. People don't always realize it. This is the time of year that we do tend to see a little bit more for OWIs around here. People are, out at bonfires. They're at graduation parties. We just had prom. I hope there's not a lot from prom, but it is a thing.
It does happen.
So, yeah, there is... My guess going to be more coming for OWIs, maybe some possession charges and things like that. So that's.
Do they run them through just kind of an awareness for you, or what do you do? Obviously, with the OWIs, a lot of it's class.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I see a lot of on the court reports and stuff like that. Sentenced class.
So for a first offense, typically what the sentences is doing the OWI drunk driving class, which is the 12-hour weekend class. Typically, it's 2 days of jail time or 6 months probation, one of the two. And then there is always completing a substance abuse evaluation and following through on any recommendations. So that's kind of what we see more of as more OWIs come in, is an increase in evaluations. Sure. Oftentimes, they need minimal treatment. Usually, it's nothing too extreme. On some cases, it is more intense. Some of them need res. But not many of them. Usually it's more outpatient.
Sure. And then that's first offense. And
that's first offense.
I'm guessing you get a few that have been there more than once.
Yeah, we've definitely got some that come through more than once. And so oftentimes what we'll see for that is a little bit longer of a drunk driving class. It's no longer the 12-hour. Oftentimes it's a full weekend. Some people see a 48-hour class. Some of them have to stay at a hotel to do it. It just kind of depends on the situation. Oftentimes it's like 7 days of jail time. And then again, evaluation and follow through of treatment. I will say the follow through of treatment is what gets people, because they don't always realize they need to follow through with what their recommendations are.
They'll say, okay, well, I got the recommendations, I'm good.
Yep. A lot of people are like, I've done the evaluation, that's all I needed to do, release me to the DOT. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, we can't do that.
And then they come along with a suspension or things like that.
So, yeah.
Well, that's a whole nother ballgame there.
It is.
The majority, hopefully, we don't have a lot of recidivism. I say that fast. We do. I mean, it happens all over the state.
It is pretty common, sadly. There's a lot of folks out there that maybe the first time around, they don't realize that the substance is as big of a problem for them as they thought. Or, we see a lot of younger folks, either late teens, early 20s, college kids. They make poor decisions. Their brains aren't fully developed.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we'll see a first offense then and maybe a second offense years down the road. Just sure. Because, life happens.
Maybe a bad choice at that time.
So. Yeah.
Alcohol is still the primary issue you have to deal
alcohol
with?
Alcohol is still the primary, followed by marijuana and meth here in our area.
Those are each a different challenge, isn't it?
They are each a different challenge. I will say marijuana is probably the most difficult for us to work with because of all of the debate and politics going on right now with that.
It does have its.
But despite
that's
popular.
It's been there for a while, too. So
yeah, it's been there for a while. But despite popular belief, it is possible to become addicted to marijuana. It's just oftentimes that addiction doesn't look like other addictions.
Mm-hmm. working mostly with a lot of addiction. And again, we get back to that basic. Is it mental health related driving it, or is mental health issues come from being addicted?
Right. I mean, a lot of what I see is people don't learn how to cope with various things as they are growing up. So our society has very much made it okay to cope by drinking or using or smoking cigarettes or, you know, whatever that might look like.
We just did the drug take back thing. Mm-hmm. Well, again, the national, it's done twice a year. Do we still, because there was a while where a lot of younger kids were trying a lot of different pharmaceuticals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Still shows up, but probably not as much as things like alcohol and marijuana.
Yeah, I mean, people are still using prescribed medications or abusing prescribed medications. You know, please, during those take back days, please continue to take them back. Mm-hmm. There are also ways to dispose of them without taking them back. There are little baggies that you can get from pharmacies and things like that to help you destroy those medications.
And I know there's a couple of them in town. This is one of the things they want people to know is they will take those back.
Yes, they will take those back. They will also send you home with the little baggies that'll help you dispose of your medication. Okay. So all you need to do is ask.
Pretty easy to do, mm-hmm. especially if you don't think you're going to make it through the entire prescription or something.
Right.
Yeah, and let's get back to some of the biggies that are going on right now. It's okay?
Make it okay day.
Make it okay
it's
day.
It's Thursday.
It's going to be on the 16th.
Yep.
So you're going to see people with green shirts.
Yep.
And again, the basic is it is okay to have mental health related issues and ask for help.
Yeah, it is okay. And that's really what we're trying to push out there.
And one of the ways you might do it is check at the library and find out when, what's her name?
Jen.
Jen's going to be there from CFR. She will be one of those. I think she plans to be there twice a month here for quite a while.
Yes, she plans on being there twice a month every other week. I can't remember if it's a Monday or Tuesday.
But it's she will be there, and they are very readily available to tell you where she will be.
Absolutely. She will be there. I also know that she is working on putting together a presentation for later in the summer for parents on addiction. I think specifically gambling addiction, just because a lot of times we don't see or don't think our kids are gambling, but they really are.
Well, see, you know, we talked about the collegiate one that was going on and all of that. But my question was, if it's so easy for them, why isn't it's just as easy for those that are in high school yet?
It is, and they're doing it. We just don't necessarily realize it or recognize it, but they are doing it. And it may not be on their phones, you know, but it might be just between buddies.
Sure.
Or things like that. And then, of course, there's, you know, video games.
Oh, there's always the video.
There's always video games.
We'll always fall back to those where they indoctrinate you, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I remember the first time when... Well, I visited with one of the counselors at in Webster City, and he said, you know, people don't realize just how addictive they are, and they really are.
Yes, they really are.
That's why the summertime, work on cutting down screen time.
Yes, definitely work on cutting down screen time. Get outside. Hopefully the summer's nice enough to be able to do that.
We'll keep working at that. We'll keep working at that too. She will be at the library. Mm-hmm. And the big thing is just come in and find out what service hours might be available. Because she can talk to you about those and give you ideas.
So. Yes, she can talk to you about those, give you ideas. She knows what we offer. She may not know all our hours quite yet, but she does know the basics. So she can definitely talk to you about that and give you guidance.
And then, don't be afraid to come and ask, which is why it's okay.
Yep, absolutely. It's okay. Come and ask.
Come and ask. Look for the green shirts this week.
Yes. There is one thing I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that I think is new from the last time I was here, and that is that we do now have walk-in psych evaluation hours out of our Ames location.
Okay.
So that's exciting. That's on Mondays from 1 to 4. So there's immediate openings for psych, which would be medications if people are needing that.
Okay.
Oftentimes we ask people to come in person the first time to sign paperwork, and then after that they can be seen via telehealth. So
for those that might need that service, and I'm sure you can refer some to it as well.
Absolutely.
Too, if they make contact, find out.
Yes, make contact. I am getting people in sometimes the day of contact for that. Okay. So we have a new provider, and she has availability.
and is willing to visit with
yes.
those. Good. Brittany Rice, a guest on our program today. Appreciate you taking time to come and visit with us yeah. and let us know what's happening and with CFR helps. Thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.